we've been looking at this series entitled The Great Wall of God. And we use, of course, the illustration, the Great Wall of China. I don't know these interesting facts about the Great Wall, because everybody, you say the Great Wall, everybody knows what that's talking about. The Great Wall was built over 2,000 years. Many imperial dynasties and kingdoms built, rebuilt, and extended walls many times that subsequently eroded. The Great Wall is not a continuous line. There are side walls, circular walls, parallel walls, and sections with no walls, which are high mountains and rivers, form a barrier. In the Qin Dynasty, 221 to 206 BC, they use glutinous rice flour to bind the great bricks together. But in spite of the fact that we know that's the Great Wall of China, a third of it has completely disappeared without a trace. But my friends, I want you to know, not the Great Wall of God. And so, I want to review with you shortly part one and two. And I want to remind you in part one that we discovered, enter the dragon, Revelation 12. And there in Revelation 12, we find four divisions or phases of the great controversy theme. The first one is verses 7 through 12, Satan wars against Michael in heaven. The second one is verse 1 through 5, Satan wars against Jesus through the pagan Roman Empire. Phase 3 is verse 6 and 13 through 16, Satan wars against the woman, the church. But the very last verse of 12 is phase 4, Satan wars against the remnant people of God, which is who? It's us. Now, I want you also to know this, in case you didn't. The seven-headed dragon has seven heads because these are the seven kingdoms that have persecuted God's people throughout history. The first one's Egypt. The second is Assyria. The third is Babylon, Medo-Persia. Greece is five. Six is pagan Rome. And seven is papal Rome. And isn't it interesting that there are seven churches, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven plagues, but throughout history, starting with Egypt, there were seven kingdoms that persecuted God's people. So therefore, in chapter 12, we discovered that the crowns were on the heads of the seven-headed dragon, because inspiration is informing us that each head represents one of the seven kingdoms that have persecuted God's people throughout history, starting with Egypt and ending with papal Rome. And then in part two, we found bitter number one. And by the way, the word bitter doesn't mean bitter like it's bitter. Bitter number one means a person who will do the task for someone else. The sea beast of Revelation 13. And we want you to note that the crowns in the seven-headed sea beast of 13 are not on the heads. They're on the 10 horns. The crowns are on the 10 horns because inspiration is informing us the appearance of the sea beast followed the breakup of pagan Roman Empire, 476 AD, but came into existence during the time of the formation of Europe, the 5th or 6th century, the papacy, the 7th and last persecuting power, received autonomy in 538 AD. Now, at first, this may be irrelevant to you or not very, you may look not very important, but let me tell you, both in Daniel 7 and Revelation 13, God nailed down dates, chronology, so that we can be sure who these little horn of Daniel 7 and the sea beast of Revelation really represents. And now today, I'd like to introduce to you, enter the unholy trinity, or the land beast of the last half of Revelation 13. Let us pray. Father, you inform us through inspiration. And like today, we're going to find it won't be real pleasant. But the gospel is that you're telling your people so they can be prepared. And we want to be people who are not only informed, but prepared. So send the Spirit now, Lord. Bring a calming presence on this sanctuary so that we can grasp every nugget and every piece of manna that you have to fall from heaven. And Lord, that can only happen if you use me in spite of my faults and shortcomings. So help me to present the thoughts that you want us to have clearly, concisely, so that we will be prepared for what's coming, especially when we discover the great wall of God. So blessed to this end, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, enter the dragon, enter the first bidder, which is the sea beast, and now the third one, which is called the land beast or the unholy trinity. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn with me to Revelation, the 13th chapter. We're going to start with verse 11. Children, open your Bibles, please. Want you to follow along and see what inspiration informs us today as we look. In fact, you're going to be excited when we get to the end here. We're going to see the unholy trinity. Maybe some of you didn't know that exists, but it does. Okay, so Revelation 13, we're going to start with verse 11. We're going to verse 18. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. And then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence and caused the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performed great signs so that he even made fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceived those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by a sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as should not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number of the beast is the number of the man, and his number is 666. So let's take a quick look here at the land beast characteristics. The very first thing we're told is after, it comes up after the sea beast was already up, but it comes up out of the land. And commentators recognize that that means in a wilderness area, an unpopulated area. As the sea beast came out of water, Revelation tells us water is people, multitudes, nations, tongue. The sea beast came into existence in a populated area, but not the land beast. Number two, notice it had two horns like a lamb. And a lamb is understood as a reference to Jesus-like. And those two horns, let me suggest, it came up gradually. A lamb, by the way, innocent, and civil and religious liberty was its forte. But what did it do? It had all the authority of the first beast, and it ended up speaking like the who? The dragon. So the lamb is the innocent. And the Jesus-like, but it ended up speaking like a dragon. Number three, four, caused the earth and those who dwell in it to do what? Worship the first beast, that's the sea beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now, in Revelation 13, in the sea beast, if you look at it, the first part is the first time that it mentions in verse number 3, the deadly wound was healed. It said that one of the heads received a deadly wound, but it was healed. Now here, in this first verses about the land beast, it says in verse number 12, whose deadly wound was healed. That's the second reference. God is trying to tell us something. Okay? If we want to know who this land, sea beast and land beast, we've got to look at these characteristics. In so doing, it nails down who they are. And notice a reference is continually made to the fact that the sea beast had a deadly wound, but it was healed. And by the way, wait till we get to the unholy Trinity and you see what this really means. Okay, let's continue. Number five, he performed what? Great signs to deceive those who dwell in the earth. Now let's just take a second. Go to Revelation 16, and this is where we're going to end up. Go to Revelation 16 and look at verse 13. So here we're told under the land beast that comes up, a power, a nation that comes up in a wilderness area after the sea beast was already in existence. And notice what it says here in 16, verse 13. It says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are spirits of demons performing what? Signs. Signs. And let's go to 19:20. 19:20. Look what it says in verse 20 of chapter 19. It says, "Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image." Three times in the book of Revelation, we are being warned that the enemies of God's people in the last days will perform what? Will perform what? miracles. They'll perform miracles. And the purpose we read carefully is to deceive those who dwell on the earth. And just to throw in a little bit of interest for you, if we won't do it. If you go to Matthew 24:24, guess what it says? False Christ, false prophets will perform great signs and wonders and almost deceive the very elect. And then if we went over to 2 Thessalonians, verse 9, it tells us that these powers will come with the powers of Satan doing signs and wonders. That's five times. Five times in last day's context, we're being told. So you see, seeing is not believing, folks. The only thing we can trust and believe is the Word of God. This is serious business. I even read this, I prepare this, I pray over it, I preach it, and I go, Lord, will I be deceived? Matthew 24:24 says, and almost deceive the elect. I mean, it's going to be serious. And so look what the land beast does. Let's continue though. Telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by a sword and lived. That's the third time in chapter 13 alone that we are told the sea beast had a deadly wound and was healed. God is saying something to us. And it'll all come together when we look at the unholy Trinity. Dun, 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 dun. All right, let's continue here. The image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as will not worship the image of the beast to be what? Killed. There's your death decree. That's where we get this stuff. You know what the image of the beast means? It means an organization is going to come into existence like a lamb, but it's going to end up talking like a dragon. And it's going to end up acting just like the sea beast. That's an image to the beast. Have you figured out yet who the land beast is? We're getting there. Let's look at this one. He causes all to receive a mark in the right hand and in their forehead. Now, folks, my Bible says all. To me, inspiration is saying, wake up, remnant. This is so serious that he could accurately, under inspiration, say all. To me, that means the vast majority. How many people are on this planet? 8 billion? 8? 7? I'll accept that. Even though I can't hear. Folks, how many of them are worshiping Jesus Christ? We got our work cut out for us. These are all people that Jesus loves. They're his sons and his daughters. And so it goes so far as in the very end, by these miracles, these two powers that come together with the dragon are going to perform miracles so powerful that the vast majority will receive the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast. Well, let's go on. And notice economic boycott. No one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You know, I look at that, and I look at that. That's not a big thing to me. But what if Roland and Samuel were 1 and 2 years old? And I couldn't buy or sell? What am I going to feed my babies? And the man's urge is to take care of his family. At least it used to be. Serious stuff. By the way, I know God's going to come through if you have a little baby. I don't anymore. Not yet, anyway. I'm hoping. And then it says this, herein is wisdom. I love this. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, folks, listen what inspiration is telling us. If you've got wisdom, then figure it out. Or, if you figure it out, you'll have wisdom. And he's telling us that we need to calculate the number. Now, throughout history, they have taken languages and assigned them numbers. And then instead of saying Peter, they'll go 632. And everybody who understands that each letter has a number adds it up and they know, oh, he's talking about Peter. But no one else knows because only those who know the code. And the Bible is telling us that we need to calculate the number of the beast. Now remember, this is very interesting, folks. I want you to see the shift here. We're talking about the land beast, but the end of chapter 13 goes back to the sea beast. See, we don't call the land beast a beast. But we call the sea beast the beast. We're to calculate the number of the beast that had a deadly wound that was healed. And if we do, his number is 666. By the way, I'm almost done here. Take a look at this. Vicar of Christ. It was not till the 8th century, however, that the particular title, Vicar of the Son of God, was found in the fraudulent document called the Donation of Constantine. Although this notorious document was proven false in the early 16th century, the Bishop of Rome, the bishops of Rome, or the popes, have used the title Vicar of Christ since the 8th century. This title has been the Pope's supreme claim to spiritual and temporal powers. Now, why am I doing this? Because when you discover that this is a debated issue, you won't be shaken. There are some that say there's no proof that the popes call themselves Vicar of Christ. When I was brought into this church years ago, I was told on the triple crown on the inside it says Vicar of Christ. And then I found out that no one's seen it, so they don't know that. Thus, I shared with you this quote of a non-Adventist source. Because evidently they still, and I checked the internet, and they still use this title, Vicarius Filii Dei, Vicar of God or Christ. So let's take a look at the number. Vicarius Filii Dei. So if we took and put it in Latin, which is the language of the Roman Church, you see the V, we all know, is 5, I is 1, C is 10, A and R have no value, I is 1, and U is the same as V, has 5, and S has no value, that's 1,200. That's 112. And then Filii, F has no value, I has 1, L has 50, I and I have 1, that's 53. Dei, D is 500, E has no value, I is 1, 501, you add the 3 together and you get 666. Now, there are any number of names, and maybe some of you here, that if we use this formula, you're going to come out 666. But you see, I showed you all the characteristics. See, it's not just if your name adds up to 666. But all the other things, you have to come into existence after the breakup of the pagan Roman Empire and during the development of Europe. See, and you got to persecute. And you got to do this. When you look at all of these factors in Daniel 7 and Revelation 13, the beast is the Roman Catholic Church. And this is just another proof. And so we looked at the dragon, enter the dragon, enter the first bidder, enter the second bidder, and that makes how many? How many? Boy, that's the simplest question I'm going to ask you today. How many? Dragon? The beast and the false prophet. Three. The first beast is the Roman Catholic Church. The second beast is America, United States. And folks, look at the timing. This is exactly how it happened. The Pope came into power in 538 AD. 1776 came the United States. Right in order, and we became the continent where all the Christians fled to our great nation and started it to escape the persecutions of England and the continent of Europe. But look at what the Bible teaches us, folks. Let's go back to Revelation 13 again. On Revelation 16. Please turn to Revelation 16 and look what the Bible tells us. Okay? Starting with let's do verse 12. Here's the context. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and the water was dried up so that the ways of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, this is the sixth plague, verse 12. The verse that follows it is going back prior to the outpouring of the plagues. Here's how the plagues were brought about. Verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. How many? Coming out of the mouth of the? Out of the mouth of the? Out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth, of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. The three, the unholy Trinity, calls the universe to come to its side, its thinking, so that they can take on God's people and obliterate them from the earth. Under the direction of the dragon. And by the way, here we have the dragon we know is Satan. We have the beast, which we know is the sea beast, the Roman Catholic Church. And the false prophet, it is the Protestant America that came into existence to protect Christians from persecution. And they turned into the dragon. Now, I want you to look at this. Why do I call them the unholy Trinity? Spirits of demons, working miracles, gather the whole world to them against God's law and His people. Why do I call him the unholy Trinity? The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. What did I point out to you? That Revelation 13 repeats about the beast, the middle one. What did I say? The beast had a deadly wound that was healed. Now let's take a look at the Godhead, folks. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what happened to the Son? He received a deadly wound that was healed. Satan counterfeits everything of God. And Revelation nails the unholy Trinity to warn God's people that this is what's going to happen. So that we'll be ready for it. Because He loves us and wants us in heaven. And with just a little bit of study, we can learn this stuff. And be ready for what is soon going to transpire on this earth. Last slide. As the remnant people of God in the last days, the Seventh-day Adventist Church should anticipate Satan's wrath and his infusion of distractions to breed contempt for truth, the three angels' messages, for Christianity, and for the Bible. What's happening now in our society? All the intellectuals are making fun of the Bible, of Christians. Have you heard there's no absolute truth? That we all need to come together based on what we agree upon, but not bring up what we disagree upon. By his overpowering delusions of his deceptions and miracles are you and I ready. Father, I want to thank you for the challenge of the hour. I pray, Lord, you don't let anybody leave here scared, but instead cuddling up to you, because you'll get us through this, but only you will get us through. Bless each one now that before they leave, they make a decision. Are they in? Are they out? Am I in? Am I out? Oh, Father, help us, because the world is powerful and its enticements are drawing it. They're taking our kids and being destroyed. And we want you to help us to counteract what's happening so that we can be faithful and you can lead us to others who want to know what we have. So take us home with confidence. But Lord, let us know that you're counting on us and that we need to stand for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.